May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to speak today about gratitude, gratefulness, and all that it can give us. It's become quite the thing on the internet. There are gratitude lists, and you can challenge people on Facebook with finding something out, learning something that they're grateful for, and making that list every day. And very positive results are found by people who are able to become more grateful. And I'm told by a woman in my clergy group, I have no idea if this is actually true, that the chemicals needed to make you feel grateful or that arise when you feel grateful are harder to come by than the ones that when you get upset or angry. They're sort of easier flowing in your medulla oblongata than gratitude ones. So apparently you have to work at this muscle, and I'm already exhausted. So I want to start by saying that we all have something in common, we people walking this planet. Everyone in the world has this one thing in common, and it's the mainspring of all that we do. All of us, every single human being the planet over, wants to be happy. We're together in this. We want to be happy, to have joy. And I think about my children and how they had that desire, even as infants in the crib. They wanted to turn on the side that they wanted to turn on because it would make them happy. It would relieve some of their suffering and make their joy just a little bit more. From the moment we come out, a failure to thrive would be a failure to have the desire to be happy and have real joy. And a lot of us think that, and we tend to think that there is a connection between happiness and gratefulness. If I were happy, then I would be grateful. If I could get one thing that I've been really looking for, then I would have something to be grateful for. So give me that one thing, and then I will have some gratitude. But I wonder if that's really true. I wonder if that's the order. In fact, I don't think it is at all. Because we know many people who have many things that they need, have a tremendous amount to be grateful for, and they're not happy. In fact, I myself have been miserable in the middle of plenty. Haven't you? Haven't you ever been at a marvelous restaurant with somebody you don't like? Have you ever really been in the middle of what should be a terrific relationship, but you're unhappy in it? Or maybe putting on a terrific outfit, but it's not the outfit that pleases you, and you have no gratitude for it. Or on the other hand, aren't there people we know who are so grateful right in the midst of suffering, which we would find very difficult? I remember my son saying to me once that he didn't know that the family in the Little House on the Prairie and the Little House in the Big Woods, the Laura Ingalls Wilder books, he didn't know that that family was poor. He said, I never understood they were poor until I got older because they were so happy. And don't you know someone who's in the midst of some kind of suffering? I've seen people even days and hours from death who exude a kind of deep joy in all that they've done and all they've known and where they're going. So I want to say that it's not happiness that makes us grateful. It's actually gratitude that makes us happy. It's the other way around. And then the question becomes, well, Janet, what is this gratitude? What is this gratefulness? Where does it come from and how does it work? Because if we're to have it in order to be happy, it would be good to know what it is and what sort of animal we're dealing with here. I want to say that we are automatically grateful, have grateful hearts when something, we're given something that is extremely valuable to us, and it's also freely given. It's really given. So if you had something that was very valuable and precious to you, and you knew that it was entirely given to you through no effort of your own at all, but just landed on your doorstep, I dare to say that you couldn't help but be grateful. You would be grateful. You'd be like those disciples who fall on their faces, like those ones in the Old Testament who fall down to the ground and build an altar to the Lord. You'd be like the one who came back, the leper who came back, and just fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you've given." If you knew it was extremely valuable and that it was given to you for free, no strings attached. And isn't that really what we're speaking about when we talk about grace? Our whole message of the gospel is in part about gratitude. Gratitude for what we have been given freely, and something which is hugely valuable to each one of us. And you know the song, "Freely, freely you have received, freely give." And then the quote, "Go in my name, and because you believe, people will know that I am." So when we have it, we're able to be grateful. And gratitude and joy just spontaneously come up in our heart in the form of some kind of action. Now, I want to say today that I think that it's possible to live our whole lives in this place of gratitude. Not just because of some big event or something that's taken place. I mean, when they place a newborn baby on your chest, if you're a woman, you're certainly grateful. Nobody's not grateful at that moment. But what about being in gratitude all the time? Having a grateful heart? Being able to approach your whole life that way? Wouldn't that be marvelous? And wouldn't we be deeply happy? And I believe that we can experience this kind of gratitude if we become aware of a simple thing, and that is that every moment, every single moment is a gift. Every moment right now is a gift. I'm a gift to you, and you are a gift to me. The chair you're sitting in is a gift. The air around you is a gift. The one who's sitting around you is a gift. Think about colors, just for a moment, the colors in this room. Colors in the ceiling, the colors from the light. I told you once about a man who was blind and was able to get his sight back. And what he said, which I've never been able to forget, "You wouldn't believe red. Red, red, red is just amazing. And yellow, I just can't get over yellow." Have you ever been away in a foreign country and come back to the United States and been so thrilled that the cars are a little bit bigger? Maybe that you get served water before the meal? All those things you do without and you miss them. And then when they come back to you, you see them and you appreciate them at that moment. And if we could live a life from moment to moment, understanding that each moment is a total 100% gift, nothing that we have asked for or imagined, but always different and exciting. And it's a chance, it's an opportunity to experience something completely given to us, that's at the root of the power of transformation and salvation towards joy. It is that capacity to be able to see each moment in that way that gives us the power to be able to stand up for justice, to be able to paint a painting, to be able to hug the unlovable. And every time we take that opportunity and we seize that moment becomes another gift and another place of joy. And we control it entirely ourselves, moment by moment, by this choice that we make to see each moment as a gift. Not to control the content of the gift, but to control our reception of it. Now, does that mean that I've gone out of my mind and I'm grateful for everything? That I want us to walk around like we're all on drugs? Why? Not at all. I'm not grateful. I'm not grateful for violence or war or the loss of a friend or lack of integrity. I'm not grateful for any of those things. But I can be grateful for each moment, not for the situation itself, but for the possibility of each moment. And let me say what I mean by this. Each moment, no matter what it contains, has within it the possibility for something to be learned, for something to be understood in a new way. And I think of the stress and strain of my son. When my son was born, he was a very voracious eater immediately. Now, this word failure to latch was not a situation he understood. He wanted to eat, and he wanted to be through with it, too. He was 5 minutes, I'm out of here. I'm going to live my baby life until three and a half hours later, and then I'll be back to you. But what he wanted when he nursed was he wanted immediately to have everything that he wanted. He wanted everything immediately. He wanted to be able to drink and have his fill immediately. But if you know anything about women, and I hope you will learn something about women today, it doesn't happen like that. It takes a little time, and he would become furious, and he would pound his teeny little fists, and he would smash his head from side to side. And when he did that, guess what would happen? He wouldn't get any food. And then he'd get madder and madder, because with no food, life is not even worth living. And there was an existential crisis in a 10-day-year-old child. If you don't think God if you think that God needs you to have a lot of learning to be able to understand, watch an infant. Just try to eat to stay alive. And in time, he broke those moments down. Because if he hadn't, he wouldn't have thrived. And he broke those moments down into one moment after another, and he learned to calm himself and to wait. He learned patience, and in that patience, he was able to have joy. So sometimes moments contain learning, and they stretch us, and they change us, and it may be painful, and we may pound our fists, and we may go from side to side, but it's worth it, because at the end of that tunnel is gratitude. Gratitude, because he learned to eat, he got to live. And for myself, I've got to say, as a person who was almost 9 years old by the time I learned to read, it was a woman who said to me, "Janet, nobody can teach you how to read. You're going to have to teach yourself." And that's the decision I had to make. I was talking to Hannah recently, and she had a big calculus exam coming. The minute I heard big calculus exam, I said, "Get a tutor." And she said, "No." She said, "I know how to learn, Mom." And I thought, because I want to buy my way out. But here's the problem, I just have two more points. One is that, what's the problem then? Why aren't we all happy? Happily breaking these moments down and going from one to another, and it's because we're rushing so fast. We're not able to stop and see each moment. And that's what that whole study about Francis was hopefully about for those of you who attended adult education. We're not able to stop. We're not able to pause for a moment and break down what we see before us. We're rushing from one moment to another. And sometimes we have a situation which is difficult, and we can't see the moment enough to separate it. Now, I think this may have happened in the story of our lepers today. I think that those nine who didn't come back were so furiously going about their business and so mad to be happy and healed that they never took a moment to come back and have any gratitude and have any joy from that time. But I want to say there is also a bit of a method that we can use to be able to make gratitude be our ground of being, our way of being in the world. And I want to say that it comes from when you teach a child to cross the street. When you teach a child to cross the street, you say to the child, I want you to stop, look, and then go. Right? Remember that? Stop, look, and then go. And you remember the song, don't cross the street, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block. Wait. Make your eyes to turn left. Make your eyes to turn right. Right? Remember that song? No. Oh. Whatever. I'm trying to make up for the wonderful job for the Precies I'm making. The idea is just this, to stop, to look, and to go. Stop, look, and go. And that's why we worship in church. That's what we're doing here. We're stopping. Everything stops in here. Did you ever notice that? You come in the beginning of the service and you leave at the end and you don't quite know what you did with all that time. If you had to bear every single moment and get from each moment and transition to the next, you'd die of boredom. That's when you leave the church. But when you come, it's a chance to stop for a moment. And then, hopefully, to look. And then, to go. Because the astounding thing is that when we are able to see what's in front of us, as a gift entirely, we can't do anything but respond to it by giving and by loving and by gratitude and thankfulness. And that's what I'm hoping for you this Thanksgiving. I'm hoping that you are grateful people. We're all grateful people, grateful for everything that we have and everything we see and everything that we're given. Stop and look and enjoy and open our hearts to all the possibilities and opportunities. And then go. And we can't help it. You know, if this just got going, I think of Arlo Guthrie. And if you remember, he said, well, now, if it just took place between two people, but then if it just took place, if peace took place within four people, and then, well, what if it was eight people? A wave of gratefulness and gratitude could change this world. Because if you're grateful, you're not fearful. And if you're not fearful, you're not violent. Can you imagine a world where people were not fearful, so they were not violent? And if you're grateful, you feel full. And if you feel full, you're willing to share. Can you imagine a world where we were willing to share? And if you're grateful, you enjoy the differences that everyone brings to the table because you're not scared about your own identity. And if you enjoy all the differences that everyone has, then you're respectful of the dignity of every human being. This is a nonviolent revolution. And it starts here, right at St. Peter's. And I just want to conclude with a quote from one of our little kids at the 9 o'clock. Last week, you were asked to fill out a piece of paper. And the piece of paper was supposed to have a list of what it is you can give. And this is what one child at St. Peter's wrote on his paper and handed it in. It was in good handwriting, the best he could do. I include everyone. I do my schoolwork. I am a good boy. Amen.